Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here we go. All right, welcome in upstate. We are live at Hall of Fame Sports Grill here on Wade Hampton Boulevard. It is our NFL draft party, and you know what? They're starting to roll in here. The coverage has started in Nashville, Tennessee, and we're going to have some a whole lot of fun today here. As we already got a good group of people here. Mark Hendricks, Stoneman, all our people from Intercom as well. Plus, the changeover is complete. Sometimes you don't realize what takes place in a 3.5 minute period between the end of a sports talk radio show and the beginning of the other. So, we have Diesel here on location with us. Diesel, I can't wait to hear your expertise. I bet you have brought something to the table today, like what all Appalachian State players are going to be drafted in the first round tonight.
Well, the only analysis I want to do is how big is Lonzo's head? We'll probably have to measure it in gallons because this freaking headset, man, I had to wrench it in on the right side, wrench it in on the left side. It's huge.
All right, so here's what we do. It is an NFL draft party. We're located at 531 Wade Hampton Boulevard, and we're going to be here till 7 o'clock live on the air. After that, we're hanging here. First pick will go on the clock at 8 o'clock. So today here on the show, guys, we're going to give you all our five picks. If you get any further than that, your toast. And I went the safe route when it came to our picks today. We're going to talk with Adam Salguero. He is with radio.com. He's an expert in especially the AFC East. That will make Chris Smith happy as he is a New York Jets fan. Also, at the top of the 6 p.m. hour, it's our buddy Josh Phillips. He's going to be live with us from the NFL draft in Nashville. So in between, we're going to talk about what actually took place 25 years ago today, if anybody knows what I'm referring to in that comment. Also, some comments from Dabo Swinney with the Clemson football program as well. In between, it's always open phone in the final segment of every hour, but you can give us who you think your the top draft pick is. The reality is we settle in, less than 4 hours before the first pick. Opinions are all over the board when it comes to, is it going to be Kyler Murray? Is it going to be Nick Bosa? Or are we going to see something change with one trade?
Further development in this headphone situation, Lonzo says I have a peanut head. He texted in and said that I have a peanut head. Thank you, Lonzo.
Well, you are a peanut, but no yes. doubt. But so, you know, we've been hearing the same storyline when it comes to this NFL draft for the better part of it, since we saw Cliff Kingsbury get fired upwards. You know, usually you get fired and you get sent up to the desert or something for a few years, or you go join Nick Saban's support staff at Alabama to make yourself more hireable. Very few people have ever gone and gotten fired from Texas Tech in the Big 12, right, only to find themselves as head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
Most people end up like Diesel on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. You know, go do your thing
straight
for
to the bottom.
That's why he is Sports Talk's most decent producer. But my point on this one being, Kingsbury is the outlier because he's thought to be some offensive juggernaut. No, the reality is you're going to find out here in the NFL, it's the 7-on-7 league of the Big 12 that plays no defense that has made Cliff Kingsbury look a whole lot better.
Absolutely.
So my point being, we've been given this and shoved it down our throats for 4 months now. I don't think it's going to happen.
I think that I think there's going to be a trade.
Yep.
I think that the Cardinals are going to trade the first pick. Somebody is going to come in with an outstanding offer, and they are going to trade the first pick.
I just have one question.
And Kyler Murray is going to drop like a ton of bricks down maybe out of the top 10.
Why is there not an NFL draft sort of like bracket challenge where you try to pick what the top 15 picks are going to be?
There
or if you can pick the entire first round. I mean, there's so much money involved in it. In the NCAA tournament brackets, why not have that for the NFL draft?
There are some that do it. It is typically sports media experts going off against each other.
You also have, I think, DraftKings and FanDuel do something along those lines.
But
it's not publicized as much as it is with the tournament.
Actually, I think on these things, you got to pay to be part of it. You know, they track, and if you do well, you brag for a year. If you don't do well, you go sit. It's pretty much like we do with our NCAA tournaments.
I don't have to get paid to brag. I'll brag on anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got no problem.
So again, the first pick goes down at 8 o'clock. Also, last night, Clemson got a baseball win, much needed after 8 consecutive losses. They knock off Tennessee Tech 7-4. Remember, tomorrow they will be down at the Flats at Georgia Tech, taking on Georgia Tech, who is now ranked number 11 in the country. So, again, big win for Clemson baseball. And one last thing, because he's tired and he is sad and he has every right to be. They not only lost in overtime last night, the Washington Capitals, the defending Stanley Cup champions, losing Game 7 at home in double overtime to the Carolina Hurricanes. I heard our producer back at the ESPN Upstate, Patrick Brown, talk about it with Mark earlier. Frustrating night, no doubt, but it's always tempered, just like when Bama got run out of the building against Clemson in January, when you do have the previous year's title, right, Patrick?
When you have the ring, it softens the blow a little bit. It sucks playing the third longest playoff game in NHL history to lose that way.
Who keeps track of the third longest playoff game in history?
Somebody has to do it. Yep.
Me.
Well, I think the night before had to be the second longest playoff game?
I think it was the first. The second longest first? Was back in 1938.
Okay.
It was the Islanders.
The who?
And I believe it was – no, wait. It was the Rangers and the Blackhawks. It was the Rangers and the Blackhawks. Okay.
Well, anyway, the only thing that could be more powerful of an ending than what we had seen the previous night between the Sharks and the Preds was going double overtime last night. And that's why, like I said, it has now moved on my bucket list, Game 7 of an NHL playoff hockey series. But, Patrick, I felt bad for you, but like you said, you nailed it on the head. That parachute, it makes that landing a little bit softer when all is said and done.
Exactly. So, and I just want to make one more point. No one's going to top what the Capitals did holding the Stanley Cup, okay? They did keg stands with it. They toured it around all of Washington, D.C. They took a bath with it. No one is topping what the Capitals did once they won the Stanley Cup. No one.
94 Rangers went to a bunch of bars in New York City.
Did they do keg stands with it?
I don't know if they did keg
stands. Chris Smith did.
They took it to the top of the Empire State Building, the World Trade Center. They displayed it outside Madison Square Garden for all the fans to come by. It was like a five-hour-long line to do that. I remember I was standing in that line. So the Rangers did a lot of stuff, and somebody dropped it. I won't mention any names, but somebody dropped it and broke one of the plates off of it.
Can't trust anybody when it comes to fans. So here's the deal. When we come back, we're going to get things started with some audio by Dabo Swinney, a particular question he was asked about when he was getting another national championship trophy the other night at the Hall of Fame down in Atlanta, Georgia. However, we're here at the Hall of Fame on Wade Hampton Boulevard. That's 531 Wade Hampton Boulevard. We're going to be here all night long till 7 o'clock, hanging out afterwards. Prize will be here. We've got some autographed Panthers gear, tickets to all kind of different things and all. So you need to get in here and check us out. I've got some old friends showing up. But most importantly, we allow Diesel out on site today. So make sure you get out here and check us out. That's 531 Wade Hampton Boulevard. Chris, in your opinion, when it comes to the food, because come in, get some food right now,
absolutely,
be a good time. What's your favorite thing on this menu?
Favorite thing on this menu would have to be the dikka, which are the beef steak tips with horseradish sauce. Absolute top notch.
All right, mine is the Cornhusker, which is their Reuben, but I always order mine. Today I'm going off the Cornhusker. I'm going burger. That's what Chief has recommended for me. They hand patty their burgers out, but we'll tell you more about Hall of Fame, what they offer throughout the week as well. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Sturgis Sports, Diesel at Diesel on Radio, at Chris Smith 1980, and at Patrick, I'm sorry, you just changed your little tagline again on your Twitter account. What's
Mac,
that?
MacBrown22.
MacBrown22. And, of course, we challenge you. Go to ESPNUpstate.com. Get registered for the locker room because there in the locker room, there is some extra stuff for you as well as a chance to win Coca-Cola 600 tickets.
And Sturge will strip you down and smack you on the butt with a towel for free.
Well, we
That's
will get
one of the perks of having a membership.
No. That would be.
You don't do that anymore?
Yeah, I quit doing that stuff a little while ago. No, that would be the Mel Kiper audio that we will get to later on when he got smacked around by Bill Tobin back in the day. That's what took 25 years. That's what happened 25 years ago today. And I hope Mel Kiper tonight, guys, has one moment to go, thank you, Bill Tobin. 25 years ago today, you made my career. And that's all it takes. 844-GSP, ESPN. Remember, you have us on 97.7 FM here in Greenville, 97.1 FM in Spartanburg, 1330 AM in the Clemson and Anderson area. 844-GSP, ESPN. Your thoughts on the draft. But when we come back, the question that was asked Dabo in his response on Tuesday, because he will see his program be justified later on tonight. We're live here at Hall of Fame Sports Grill. It's our 2019 NFL Draft Party, the quiet before the storm. Come out and get some happy hour specials here, as well as some of the best food around. And 530 Wade Hampton Boulevard. If you don't know where we are, we're on the south end of Wade Hampton in the new area developing, headed into downtown. It's 531 Wade Hampton Boulevard. Pop it in your GPS and get over here. Now, guys, when you win national titles, you still have to answer questions. Dabo Swinney makes his way to the Chick-fil-A, to the College Football Hall of Fame for a deal with Chick-fil-A 2 days ago, and he's sitting there answering questions, and this is one of the things that was asked of him.
Coach, I was talking to Will Muschamp last night as he started his Spurs Up tour. And talking about the schedule, I know there's been a lot of comparison between South Carolina and Clemson's schedule. People saying you have a very easy schedule and South Carolina one of the hardest. He felt like, hey, we have a difficult schedule every year. Do you feel the same as far as Clemson, despite, you know, maybe the lack of competition in the ACC?
Boy, that's a loaded question, isn't it? I couldn't disagree more than how you phrased the question. I mean, there's no lack of competition in our league. There's a reason why we've won two out of the last three national championships, and it's not because we don't play anybody. We've played everybody. We've played Alabama three times in national championships. We've played Ohio State, played Oklahoma. We play Texas A&M. We play South Carolina every year. Our league. I think we had 11 bowl teams this year, 10 the year before, 11 the year before that. Our league is incredibly competitive and deep. And you just can look at the postseason success over the last few years. I mean, Texas A&M, I think Wake Forest beat them in a bowl game a couple years ago. Virginia wins their bowl game this year. We've had great success in the postseason. But the reason we've been successful is how our league prepares us. And then we step out of our league and we play people. For example, we play Texas A&M. We play South Carolina. I think that's great conversation for people. And for whatever reason, people never really want to give the ACC the respect that it deserves. But ain't nobody going to be excited to play any team from this league. This is a great league. And that doesn't mean we're better than everybody else and all that. This league. And watch the draft. And you can look over the last probably 5 years or so, I think the SEC and the ACC, I don't even think it's close from a draft pick standpoint. I think it's like us two and way apart. This is a great league. And our schedule is going to be a very big challenge. It's going to be very difficult. Nobody knows anything about any team right now. That's the other hilarious thing that I always laugh about this time of year. nobody knows anything about anybody. There's so much that goes into it, so many unknowns, so many new people, and you know, things that have to be proven. And that's why if you go back and you look at the preseason polls, and then you compare them to the postseason polls, when it's based on performance, it's usually night and day.
And do you feel good about that answer? Because I think he hit a lot of points on it when it comes to he's right. Now, the SEC's on a level by themselves right now when it comes to draft picks here recently. ACC behind them. But there's a substantial amount of room between the Atlantic Coast Conference and your Big Ten, Chris Smith. My point being, 11 bowl games, 11 bowl eligible teams in one league out of 14 doesn't mean that you're going in and playing a powder puff schedule. Does it mean you're playing a week in, week out juggernaut maybe in the SEC? Yeah, I can buy that. But it is, to me, it is not an indictment, nor does it take away from either of the two out of the three last national titles.
Well, he said the ACC is a deep league. I mean, it is in a way in that it's Clemson's first team, Clemson's second team, and then everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, there's not a whole lot of class outside of Clemson in the ACC.
Yeah, but
not really.
But the thing is, bowl eligible teams that go on to win bowl games.
Yeah, but you have to be average to be bowl eligible.
But
I don't look at that as saying
you need a 500
some
record.
Massive stat.
Yeah, but still, coming back to then look at the success of the league in those bowl games. Look at what they've done with their out-of-conference matchups. Everybody wants to nitpick at something when you reach a certain level, and this is the one thing that they can nitpick about. However, my point leading into the draft tonight, you're probably going to see three Clemson defensive linemen go in the first round. Tomorrow, you will see a fourth player drafted in the first 10 picks, probably. Is that a validation of the program that he has put together at Clemson? It doesn't matter if it's a soft schedule or a hard schedule. They're going to be successful.
Well, really, titles and trophies is all the validation you need.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you take – we'll take Ohio State as an example. Just looking at the draft board, I mean, you're probably going to have Nick Bosa as – in the top, we'll say the top three.
Kind of, sort of, Ohio State
not
here.
Not kind of, sort of. Hey, he still played there. He still played. He got injured and decided to move on. I think it was a good decision? No. But it is what it is. You're going to have Dwayne Haskins maybe be the top quarterback that goes from Ohio State. And you've got a couple defensive players, a couple cornerbacks or safeties who are going to go, if not late first round, very early second round.
So the reality is you throw Oklahoma in the mix as well, a little bit of Georgia, and you're going to see those same people this year when it comes down to that college football playoff in those four places. But, you know, to me it's kind of sad. You're sitting there at the Football Hall of Fame to pick up a national title trophy that you just beat my guys in the face with that night. I mean, we got Billy clubbed in the middle of Wade Hampton Boulevard in front of Hall of Fame Sports Grill. And you got to go answer that kind of stuff. And I just think it's funny. But that's the reality. When you get nitpicked like that, that's when you know you're doing something really, really well. It's like I'll equate it to another Palmetto State product that has nothing to do with Clemson football, Hootie and the Blowfish. Back in the day when they got so big, it began to be cool to tear them back down.
So a little fact that somebody just sent me, that Clemson only plays 8 conference games, which is why they have more bowl-eligible teams, whereas other conferences play 9 games, and that's why you
it's
see –
It's not true. Southeastern Conference plays 8 games. So,
and a championship.
And so does the ACC. So, but what does Clemson do? They schedule 2 SEC teams every year to kind of offset it as well. But, listen, there's no perfect answer to it. No. I guess what I'm saying is watch tonight when it comes into that first round. If you've got really 10% of the draft picks in the first round tonight, that's your validation when it comes to the NFL draft here, and that's what we're doing. We're celebrating the NFL draft, and, of course, we're celebrating at Hall of Fame Sports Grill. Now, outside of that, the other thing is we have found out one program. All right, I'm feeling a little sick to my stomach here. Diesel, what am I wearing?
You're wearing the one thing that you've railed on
yep.
for years on this show, you're wearing a football jersey.
I am.
You're wearing a New York Giants jersey.
And I'm about to tweet it out right now, so everybody take a look.
Zach Brown, here's your chance to get in with us and talk about the New York Giants, because we are destined to see drama already in the first round tonight. Did you see the story come out a little bit ago who is now taking over the draft for the Washington Redskins? Yes, it is owner Daniel Snyder.
Oh, boy.
And apparently,
Redskins gonna Redskins.
Yep, the Redskins are gonna go Redskins. So my point on this: how dysfunctional is the NFC East when the Cowboys can't get out of their own way? The Redskins are gonna Redskin.
You had the thing go down with the Raiders where Gruden and the GM kicked out all the scouts.
Yep.
So that way they can determine who is going to be their pick today.
How can somebody not named Washington and Dallas really get back to the top of the NFC East really quick? Because that's a great way of putting it, Diesel. The Redskins are going to Redskin, and for whatever reason, even though they have more money than the league itself, Dallas can't get over the hump. Why? Jerry Jones is the Daniel Snyder of Dallas. So to me, as I wear this New York Giants jersey here today, the draft, boy, what they do at number 6 is going to be a key tonight, guys. And I'll tell you, one of my favorite quarterbacks is being pegged now at number 6. And that's the Jones kid from Duke, but I wouldn't draft him there. He's not a top 10 pick. He's somebody that you might look at, you know, later on down the line, but all it takes is one person to be in love. I hear your boy Dwayne Haskins, Washington Redskins potentially.
Yeah, if he falls that far, that's the question. I mean, there's a few teams up there who need a quarterback. So the question is whether Haskins is going to fall all the way to number 15. If I were the Giants, you need offensive line help. I would take a look at that at the number 6 pick. And you also need a defensive lineman. And I think that obviously this draft is defensive deep. You look at all the edge rushers, you look at all the defensive tackles, there's just tons of them. So no matter whether you get a Bosa or an Allen or the kid from Michigan, Gray, any one of those is going to have an immediate impact on your team. You got Williams from Alabama, who I think is going to be a beast, no matter what team he goes to. So the draft is defensive deep. So if I were the Giants, I would be looking offense and offensive linemen. They're in dire need of right now, especially trying to protect Eli Manning.
One thing you don't need is a running back.
Right, yeah. So it's going to be interesting. And they got the 17th pick, which is where I would think that Drew Locke from Missouri or the kid from Duke might fit in.
Yeah, 6 is way too high for Daniel Jones from Duke. The most upside there at quarterback that I see in the first round, and you can call and tell me I'm wrong at 844-GSP-ESPN, might be Drew Locke, but I'm still not in love with him to go pick him. I'm not picking Kyler Murray in the top 5.
Yeah, Diesel? But how often do teams trade up to get a quarterback that – everybody says nobody has any business going up that high to get the guy. It's FOMO. There's a fear of missing out on a potentially good quarterback. So teams always overreach for quarterbacks.
That's why we're going to give you some of our predictions of chaos, if you will, here in a little bit. And one of mine is it's going to be a free fall for the assumed number 1 pick in the draft. So 844-GSP-ESPN. Who is your team going to take tonight and why? I'd love to hear it. That phone number, 844-GSP, or you can tweet us at Sturgis Sports, at Diesel on Radio, Chris Smith, 1980. But the Carolina Hurricanes are now advancing to the second round of the NHL playoffs. What do our Carolina Panthers need to do tonight in the draft as they are sitting down the list? And I'm going to go ahead and give it to you straight when we come back. Who sees their name called for the Carolina Panthers? But let's take a look at what the needs are. And, again, your thoughts, 844-GSP-ESPN, as we're live from Hall of Fame Sports Grill. Happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 7. Tuesday Tuesday's Bar Trivia for Dummies at 7:30. Diesel ought to come lead that. Wednesday's 30 Seconds Rock Music Bingo. That begins at 8 p.m. Thursday's Top Shelf Trivia Bingo. So come prove your knowledge here on the show. Who's your team going to pick? But you can come here to Hall of Fame Sports Grill during the week and prove your knowledge as well. So, Patrick, I got to get your opinion on that. The NHL has gone back and apologized to the Las Vegas Golden Knights about that, what was it, a four-minute major that they called on? 5 minutes. And what happens? San Jose goes off and scores four goals during that five-minute period to take a one-goal lead. That to me is kind of like the NCAA's punishment of going, hey man, you got to vacate those wins because, forget you had a good time. Don't apologize to me 2 days after the game, Pat.
What it brings to.
Sorry, go ahead. Actually, no, I'll go ahead real quick. So the one thing that ticked me off about this is the fact that. No matter what happened in that matchup, everyone's going to talk about the fact that Golden Knights blew a 3-0 lead. No, that's not what they're going to talk about. They're going to talk about the fact that you blew a call, gave them a 5-minute double major penalty, and basically, in all actuality, just kind of ruined the game for the Golden Knights. The momentum was gone for them, never could get it back, so therefore, nothing good came out of that situation for the Golden Knights. And to be quite honest, an apology doesn't do anything to it. All it does is basically go, oh, look, you guys were right. Okay, there was an apology in here. We admit error on the way, but the officiating the whole time for the NHL this year has been abysmal in the postseason. And this is even including my Caps game in game six, a no-go called when it was a 3-2 game, which would have made it 3-3, and the Canes went on to win 5-2 in Game 6. For me, the officiating has been bad this postseason, but everyone's going to talk about the storylines in it. No one's going to care about the officiating.
Yeah, I mean, because go look at those number one seats.
All of them are gone.
The Caps, yeah, they're all gone. But don't apologize to me a couple hours after or a couple of days after you got screwed. That just – It'd be like your wife apologizing about cheating on you, and you know, you're supposed to feel good about it. You know what I mean?
What it reminds me of is what happened to the New Orleans Saints with that pass interference call. Now all of a sudden the NFL apologizes, they changed the rule, now there's instant replay. So, I mean, apologizing to a team after basically crushing them by calling the penalty, it just doesn't make sense to me, and bad form on the NHL.
I'm with you. All right. We got a bunch of Panthers gear here on the prize wheel. You can come by and spin it. And we got tickets and autographed mini helmets and all kind of stuff going on. We are a Panthers affiliate on Classic Rock 101.1 FM. And the Panthers, they've been quiet in all this. You know what I mean? Bringing in a couple of signees off the board to fill a need, but nothing too major on it. So, guys, I think there are a couple of needs that the Panthers need to address in this draft, whether it's an offensive tackle, edge, safety, cornerback, and a long – maybe not the solution to Cam Newton at quarterback, but you better find somebody in this draft. If that shoulder goes bum again this year, that you might be able to do a little bit moving forward with. So,
but Sturge, I got lit up on this show weeks ago for saying that the Carolina Panthers, I even asked, when do they need to start thinking about drafting a quarterback? Not who should they draft this year, when should they start thinking about it? I was saying maybe a year from now, 2 years from now, and then Cam Newton is not going to be long for this league. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Well, I'm with you. I don't think you want to get – this is not the year to go pull – picking. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's a top 10 quarterback in this draft. Kyler Murray may be, but I question his height in the history of short quarterbacks, and I can make short comments. Why? Because I'm short. Right.
Because you got to see that jersey on you.
Yeah, I would be embarrassing Phil Sims right now, would I not?
Sturge is the tallest guy in Hobbiton, I can promise you that.
All right, so going back to it, I can make short jokes because I'm short. I don't see a true top 10 pick, but if I
disagree.
If I am the Panthers, I'm looking down the line at like a Will Greer, possibly a Ryan Finley, somewhere in that second, third round range that I could work with and develop and not have to do what's going to happen to a Dwayne Haskins or these guys, go start and get thrown under the bus the first year. This might be a great situation for a Will Greer from West Virginia to find himself and be the backup to Cam Newton.
Well, the Panthers get to mine for somebody who's going to fit their locker room, for somebody who's going to fit their system. They're not under any major pressure to draft a quarterback this year. So they get to go find the right guy, not just the sexy guy, the splash guy. They get to go find the right guy, the one who think has the one they think has the best skill set, not who all the fans are going to be beating their chest. You need to go get this guy.
Well, for the two main needs that I see for the Carolina Panthers are they need an offensive tackle, and they need an offensive tackle to eventually take over and be the guy at left tackle. But guess what? Half of the teams in the NFL can make that same comment right now. So I think there's two good tackles in the first round available, but David Tepper in the Carolina Panthers and Marty Herney at GM, they're not moving in the top 10 to get the kid from Washington State. Andre Diller is a really good tackle. Or Alabama's Jonah Williams.
I think that's who they should pick, in my opinion, because it, you know, we're talking about drafting a quarterback. You need somebody to protect Cam Newton right now, in the now. And in order to do that, you have to take a top offensive lineman. And I think Jonah Williams is going to be the tackle that
they
got to
draft a good offensive lineman, or are they going to start paying referees to actually start making calls?
All right. So, you know, there are a couple other, but the thing is to do that, Chris, you're going to have to trade up to get either one of those guys, because I don't think they're going to be sitting there at, what, number 17 when the Panthers come. That's why I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb here. Walking across the stage in Nashville tonight is the first-round draft pick of the Carolina Panthers, Clemson defensive end Cleland Farrell. Why? That's the second biggest need that the Carolina Panthers have, and that is an important edge rusher. And I'm sorry, Cleland Farrell has gone up my draft board, because when other guys like a Nick Bosa, who obviously is talented, and but Cleland Farrell played through a torn pec in 2018. He didn't go off and get ready for the draft. That's a guy, Diesel. That's a guy that.
Good thing he's on that side of the table.
But that's a guy who goes up in my book when he just powers and plays through it and still played well.
Yeah, I mean, if you turn around and look, they do need an edge rusher, and I think Farrell is going to be very good. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 pick.
No.
Because there's just so many good ones out there. But there, from the mock drafts I've seen and from, you know, Kuiper and all those guys, they're looking at either Farrell going 16 the Panthers or 17 with the Giants.
So right there in that area. Well, I think, again, when you can get that tie back to your natural area as well as get a good player, that is a win-win, because
well, that gets your fan base you know, all wound up. You know, they took a Clemson guy. We got to go up to Charlotte and watch the games and watch the star.
Because it certainly wouldn't be the first time a team's ever drafted to sell tickets.
Oh, well, exactly.
Johnny,
of course, you know, the half a B or whatever dollar deal that they're getting ready to build over in York County, South Carolina, which not only is six practice fields and an indoor facility that
hotels,
will hold 10,000 people. You're right. Hotels, restaurants, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery in Frisco, Texas, and the Dallas Cowboys. Guess what? You're getting copied in York County, South Carolina. Who's your team drafting tonight? You can tell us at 844-GSP-ESPN. Don't forget Armando Salquero from Radio.com, a draft insider, joins us at the top of the 5 p.m. hour. Josh Phillips just sends me a photo right now from the NFL draft in Nashville. We'll talk to him at 6 p.m. So you can get in with us here in open phones. It doesn't matter. We'll give you an update on the NBA playoffs, because Did you see that number one seed out west went down at home once again in Oracle Arena? Now it flips back to L.A., only down 3-2. 844 GSP ESPN. It's our NFL draft party here at Hall of Fame Sports Grill. That's 531 Wade Hampton Boulevard. You can also find them online at halloffamesportsgrill.com. But we want you to come by here and see us. Happy hours going on 4 to 7 p.m. right now. And if you can't make it here on a Thursday, Chris, one of the best deals they have here, $10 burger and beer on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And you absolutely can't go wrong with that kind of deal here at Hall of Fame Sports Grill. Because you know what? The ultimate goal for these guys that are going to walk across that stage tonight is to make it to the Hall of Fame. But that Hall of Fame's in Canton, Ohio. This Hall of Fame here in downtown Greenville on Wade Hampton Boulevard. But there's also there ought to be a wing of the NFL Football Hall of Fame called Best Names. You know what I mean? And there's actually a couple of appropriate names available in this weekend's draft. Not all of them going tonight, obviously.
It sounds like a Key and Peele skit. I'm not going to lie. It's like the East-West College Bowl. Sweeps.
Yeah. So I think one of the best names – I've been going through all this. One of the best names that I've come up with, and he's probably going to go in the first round, it looks like, in the either late teens or early 20s, is Greedy Williams, cornerback out of LSU, who they're predicting to go to the Texans.
So what? That's an appropriate name for a cornerback. Why?
But interceptions.
Absolutely. And that's a name. What do they say about cornerbacks? That's the one position you better forget about the previous play.
Absolutely.
On the spot. Diesel?
Yeah, but is that a better name than Rock Ya-Sin? Cornerback out of Temple.
I'm gonna rock y'all sin out of you. I mean, come on. I'm gonna knock you into next week.
How about Sheldrick Redwine?
There we go.
All right, dude. You walk out at player promo to the UB40 song "Red Red Wine." I think it was actually earlier in that. I like this one. All right, I know he's on the list over there. But if you're gonna get drafted in the NFL, you're gonna sweat. So how about Montez Sweat?
Yeah.
Is that really better than Hemp Cheevers? 17 E's.
All right. is any Ohio State fan would love, what is it, Paris Campbell?
Paris Campbell.
My point being, I'd slap my mom in the face for making me an NFL wide receiver and naming me after Paris Hilton back in the day. You know that's how he got it. You know that is.
That's okay. He's going to get paid.
Still not a better name than Sloan Taki-Taki. Linebacker out of BYU.
Thank you. I was like, that's one of three schools that he attended. I was thinking BYU, Hawaii, or the Naval Academy.
And
you know
Drew,
what I mean?
Drew Tranquil. Drew Tranquil. He's a linebacker out of Notre Dame.
See, now here's how I work with that. I put a hyphen on there and then add Izer because Tranquilizers and as a linebacker, he's going to lay you out when all is said and done. So
yeah, I'm just scrolling through this
I saw somebody with the last name Savage.
Ooh.
He's a safety.
Ooh, are you messing with the macho man, Randy Savage? Savage. Yeah, Darnell Savage. You're going to snap into a Slim Jim tonight on the NFL draft? Hey, I didn't care that much for Randy Savage back in the day because it was hard to understand him. But anytime the amazing Miss Elizabeth came out with him, is Lonzo, you're driving home right now on the fact that we could mix a wrestling comment in for either Hendrix or Lonzo. I was always happy when he was with Miss Elizabeth.
This guy's destined to be a coach, I guarantee, just because of his name. Bunchy Stallings. That sounds like a college coach from the 1950s, if I've ever heard one. Bunchy Stallings.
Would you get your boxers out of a bunch there and just go on and call the next play? You know what I mean? So
there's a Dante Redwood, an Easton Stick, and my man, Clifton Duck.
Clifton
out of Appalachian
Duck.
State.
Clifton Duck.
And he is a lockdown corner, I'm telling you.
All right.
What round's he going in?
Late. He's a little guy.
True story is this is a Hall of Fame level story. You get the irony when I make that comment before we get out because we got our first guest coming up, Armando Sequeira.
Sturge is a master of subtlety.
Absolutely. A friend of ours is nicknamed Duck. No kidding, Duck. They were all down at the Masters about 20 years ago, and a buddy of his saw him down the fairway and yells, "Hey, Duck!" And everybody in between him and there hit the ground. Duck. They thought a golf ball was coming at him. And you know what? When you have that kind of nickname that the reaction makes people drop or something, I think that's a pretty appropriate story when it comes to that. But don't forget, we're going to come back with Armando Sequeira. He is a draft insider for Radio.com. And, of course, all of our guests on ESPN Upstate that are brought to you by Radio.com. They are also brought to you by Diesel, the Mercedes-Benz A-Class. And you know what? I guess that's apropos tonight because – what would you, real quickly, what's the first thing you do with a big-time signing bonus tonight? Would you go buy that Mercedes-Benz A-Class?
Ooh. No, I'm going to be the smart one. I'm going to get a lawyer. I'm going to get an accountant. I'm going to be fine for the next 5 to 10 years just off of my bonus.
All right, Chris Smith, what would you spend your first thing on?
You dummies go buy a new car.
I would go buy a nice yacht.
All right. I'm going to be that guy that gets all the publicity for going and paying off my mom's mortgage or something like that. You know what I mean? The other thing that I'm going to go get is a translator who knows the 218 ways on the face of this earth that say no, nine, nit, nada, whatever, because to me, that's one of the biggest phrases you better learn here in the next few months when every one of your cousins you've never met comes out and asks you for some money. 844-GSP, ESPN. We'll come back with our first interview. It's Armando Sequeira, Radio.com insider. We've got the Giants, the Jets, and now the demented Cleveland Browns represented at Hall of Fame Sports Grill. Come by 531 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.